Welcome back to the Dog Owners Pod. I am so excited to keep releasing episodes. Please make sure you give us a follow on whichever platform you're listening to us on. I actually can't believe I'm saying this, but I ran a half marathon recently. The photos are humbling, to say the least. If you run or are looking to build on your relationship with your dog or know someone who would enjoy this episode, then please share it with them. In this episode, you will hear from running coach and Canny Cross enthusiast Louise Humphrey and Canny Cross and Pilates instructor Michelle Mortimer. Michelle and Louise have their own podcast, Canny Cross Conversations. I'll tag them on the Dog Owners Pod Instagram page so you can find and listen to them as well.
I'm so excited about this because it's something completely new that I have only really just come across. And this is really the kind of educational side of things that I wanted to incorporate into the podcast. I don't know if you guys have found the same, but sort of between the ages of 25 to 35, there's been a significant drop in my age group having children and what they've all suddenly started to do with my dogs, which is lovely. But I think a lot of people are now like, shit, like this is actually quite hard work. What do I do?
Yeah, my first dog was my first baby, actually, before children. So yeah, can relate.
You said your first dog was a bit like your baby. What breed was your first dog? How old were you when you had your first dog?
She was a rescue that my mother-in-law found on the internet looking for a new home. And she'd been shipped over from Ireland. And we had only been married a year. So weren't quite ready to make the step into children yet. Knew we wanted a dog to kind of just get a bit more active, really. We didn't seem to do much then. We'd go out to restaurants and eat lots. We'd sit on the sofa and binge watch telly. We didn't really have any hobbies. So we were like, let's get a dog. So yeah, Bella came home with us and she literally changed our lives. I didn't start running then, but she was definitely my baby. We'd take her out on long walks. And it was probably about 4 years later I started running and she would trot alongside me. It took a lot longer for me to get into Canny Cross.
Yeah,
but she was definitely my first baby.
Do you know the breeds roughly? Was she mixed?
She was. I'd say she was probably a terrier crossed with a beagle. So she was like a really sturdy little black and tan dog with these big fluffy ears. She was beautiful. Yeah, I love her.
Did she enjoy running alongside you at that stage?
She absolutely loved it. We would do miles and miles. I think the furthest she ran with me was about 11 miles. But she loved it. Yeah, we'd just get out in the woods and just run together. And I didn't have to worry about chasing sheep or anything. She was always so good and so well behaved. And we just had so much fun. Yeah.
Oh. And how many dogs have you had since your rescue?
Well, we got another rescue in... When did we get her? 6 years ago. And she is a completely different kettle of fish. She was from Romania, very, very scared of everything. Even now, you know, we live in kind of on the outskirts of town and the bird scarers, she hears them and she freaks out. She still doesn't like those even now. But she was the dog that inspired me to start Canny Cross because she's not great off the lead. She spooks easily.
Yeah.
She's quite reactive. So we've just got her now. We lost Bella a couple of years ago. So Poppy is my only dog. She's kind of a big, long-legged, gangly sight hound. She's kind of a cross between a lurcher, Pedenko type dog. And she's lovely. She's fast.
It's funny, when I was listening to one of the first few episodes, and I was listening to you talk about Poppy and how she isn't off the lead and she can be reactive. And my parents rescued a lab. He was at 6 to 8 months when they rescued him, but he can't be off the lead at all now. He gets spooked by hot air balloons that come over, and we think it's because he was flown over from, I think it was somewhere in Poland, and that's just stuck with him. And unfortunately, we just haven't been able to change that. So I can't see my dad doing Canny Crossing, unfortunately, with a harness. I think he might need a new hip, but Archie, my parents' dog, yeah, it's one of those things, you can adapt your life to suit them so they still have a...
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
sorry, is it your father that needs a new hip or your dog? Or the dog?
Probably both, actually. Probably both. Louise, how about yourself? Dogs? When did you first get dogs? Because you've got Poppy now. Oh, no, sorry. Pickle.
Pickle. God, I can't even remember her name.
Yes.
I had a dog when I was a child. So when I was about 12, I think. So, yeah, grew up. He survived until he was 16, so I'd left home by the time when he was still around. And then we had another lab which we got when my son was six. Unfortunately, she passed away very suddenly at six. And then we waited 6 months because it was really traumatic because it all happened at home. My son, who was 12, 13 at the time, saw it all. And I'd always had yellow lamps. And we thought, well, we'll go for a different color.
We'll go black.
And that's when Pickle came along. So Pickle's six. No, she's not. She's six. Yeah, she's six. But yeah, she's not six yet. She's six in April. I get a bit confused because she's just had puppies. So I'm getting a bit confused about what age she is and things like that.
I did hear about the puppies. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I can imagine. So I started off with, we had black labs growing up in our family. It was just, I think we had, who do we have? Bramley, Clemmy. And then I had intended on getting rescuing a black lab, and it just didn't work out for one reason or another. And Fig, the yellow lab that I currently have, we ended up having her from 8 weeks. And you really do, I mean, the puppy stage, I forget. And I would love to rescue a slightly older dog in the future. Not that I think it's any easier, as I'm sure had you thought about the puppy stage, or had you thought it's going to be a toss up between an 8 week old puppy or rescuing?
I don't think we would have ever gone for a puppy. I don't know. That's kind of not my style. I kind of think if there's dogs out there that want a home, I'll give them a home. So that's just, I've never kind of thought I want a puppy.
You could have had one of Pickle's puppies because she didn't win.
But to be honest, both the dogs, when we got them, were very young anyway. Like Bella was 9 months, so she wasn't fully grown. And Poppy was only 5 months, so she was young.
Yeah.
So we did still have that kind of phase where they like to eat the furniture. We've been through that twice now. Maybe that's excellent. Just my dogs. I don't know. Maybe that's because they were rescues.
Not at all. I bought anti-chew spray, which Fig ate and then threw up. So that didn't really work. And then she just went back to the furniture. I don't know if you've come across, sidetracking slightly, one of the most painful dog chews that I got. It was like a bit of wood that's supposed to be for puppies to chew on. It's like a really light colored wood. Basically, it's like a log that you give to the dog, and it's supposed to help them with chewing. So I thought, great, I'll give that to the dogs. And then within about 30 seconds, they shredded. I just had tiny bits of wood all over the floor everywhere. So if you see any chew toys of similar nature, then avoid at all costs.
Yes, don't bother.
Yeah, don't bother. How old are the puppies now, Louise?
Yes, they're 5 months old now. But I still see them because there's a couple where I live, and we have a great WhatsApp group with them. So they all sent pictures yesterday on Mothering Sunday.
That's so cute.
And I put them on Instagram,
actually. Yeah, I'll have to go and have a look.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a look. That is amazing, especially on Mother's Day as well. That's fantastic.
How's the highlights if it's not up there anymore? So
we'll definitely check them out. How's Pickle doing?
Really amazing. I went and raced her. We'd started canicross. So the puppies went at the beginning of December. We started canicrossing. Well, we started walking in the canicross kit, which we'll obviously talk about a bit. And obviously she lost a lot of muscle mass and stuff going through the pregnancy because she wasn't exercising much. Yeah. So it was building up slowly. And we went to a race just to see how she was. I have a really good friend that's a pet physio. So she said, yeah, she's fine. Just take it, just let her lead the way. So I did. And we PB'd, we won our age group. We're fourth female, seventh overall. And she has come back. I kept thinking, oh, she'll slow down in a minute. And she's just amazing. But apparently it's quite normal when bitches come out, from giving birth, they come back stronger. I just didn't realise that at the time. So it's been amazing. She's really strong.
Especially because you said that she's coming up to six in April.
Yeah.
Quite sort of a fantastic age, really, to be right in the thick of it, having had puppies and then sort of still racing. So in terms of canicrossing, were you happy to kind of introduce really canicrossing itself, generally speaking?
Yeah, it's canicross is running with your dog, and it's running with the correct equipment, which obviously Michelle and I are very passionate about, even so that I shout at people in the street sometimes nicely.
Yeah, I think we'd just like to get across just being safe and making sure you've got the right kit or you go out, because we see a lot of people who are running with the dogs, like on a collar and things.
So canicross equipment for a human is like a climbing belt. You put it on and it's round your pelvis, basically. And then you have a bungee strip and a bungee lead and a harness for the dog, which is a Y-shaped harness. mm-hmm. which gives them movement to run around the shoulders. So it's not one of the ones that goes across. It's a no-no for running. So it's got movement. There's lots of harnesses out there. Mm-hmm. But the important thing about the Canicross harness for a human, they call it a waist belt. And that's, I'm just trying not to say that, because you get waist belts that you might have seen people out running that are yeah. literally around your waist, little thin lead. And if you've got a dog that pulls strongly, like I have and Michelle has, that's going to really hurt your back. So yeah. you need pull. The pull comes from the strongest part of your body, which is the pelvis. So that's, you know, you're less likely to get injured from that. So that is basically the premise of Canicross. And you can run hands-free, which is really, really important for as a runner.
Yeah. I mean, it looks so graceful when you see people kind of gliding. I've seen various TikToks and videos and Instagram reels of people gliding through the forests with their dogs running ahead. But the actual mechanics, I mean, when I started to even kind of look through questions to ask you, I ended up with 100-odd questions just in terms of how on earth I would get my head around this, you know, fairly straightforward things like getting my dog to run in a straight line and not darting off into a bush to find something to eat.
If you like the sound of what you've heard so far, please hit follow now on whichever platform you're listening to the episode on. If you hit follow now, you won't need to spend ages trying to find the podcast for your dog walks. Make life easier for yourself, hit follow and enjoy the rest of the episode.
So Canicross itself, is it a competition? Do you go to Canicross training sessions? It's not just competing or?
It depends. I think Louise and I approach Canicross very differently, don't we? Louise likes race, very competitive. She won't mind me saying this. She's got big goals and she likes to race regularly. I, on the other hand, I Canicross out of necessity, really, with my dog. And we just enjoy it. I have never done a race. Louise keeps kind of steering me in that way, don't you? Maybe I will one day.
We will get you there.
Yeah. But that kind of side of it doesn't really appeal to me. So I think you can
do it.
You can get different things out of Canicross.
Okay. That's really nice. Mm. So there's not that pressure to... No. It's a bit like running at the moment. People think that they have to sign up to a half marathon or a marathon to be able to qualify as a runner, you know, but what you're saying is that you could do Canicross, whether it's in a competition environment.
I run a group in my, so I'm Leicestershire based, and we run a group and we have a Sunday social run. So, you know, it's quite a lot of us the race, but social run is a chat and a run. The dogs don't always realise that, you know, you've got to go for the run. But we do, and we have all levels of people doing it. So people that are just starting out, people that have been racing, people that, you know, just want to exercise like Michelle does, want to exercise their dog in a safe environment, have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So it's for absolutely everyone.
And that's what's quite nice is that you do have both aspects. There are, you know, my sister ran the London Marathon last year and I've begrudgingly signed up to a half marathon this year. I'm just dreading it. But we can both enjoy the same thing, you know, but she will be more competitive. And I'll be there just to tick it off the bucket list.
Yeah, right. There's room for both. Yeah.
There is. And I think when you get into something, you know, you have goals. And we talk a lot about that, don't we, Michelle? Because Michelle's a running coach. And, you know, she's always on at us about setting goals. And you do. The fitter you get, the more you want to achieve. And I think that's what it is. And if you've got a really good dog that's going to pull and you know, it can be quite, well, it's very addictive, I think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I can definitely see that. And you touched upon the social side of things, which again is really important because, you know, especially in the middle of London at the moment, running clubs are the new, I mean, some say dating sites, but running clubs are the new social.
You're a little bit older than needing that now.
It's a fantastic social spread anyway. And as I said, there are age groups who have 1-2-year-old dogs that they weren't quite sure of, you know, that they were going to end up quite as crazy as they have been. So be able to combine the two. But I was thinking, you know, the social side of things, is it possible to be able to run, have a conversation whilst, you know, managing a dog as well? But you're saying that actually you do have social get-togethers on, you said Sundays.
I do mine on a Sunday, yeah.
You'll find these all over the country though. So there are plenty of clubs that we've kind of chatted to, you know, so you'll find a club somewhere if that's your thing. If you want to go along and run with your dog, there will be a club near you, hopefully.
And I think it's really important if you're going to do it to find someone either to have a taster session, make sure you've got the right kit, because most people will have the kit to try on before you buy, because it's not cheap. But you only need one lot, you know, once you've done it.
And just going back to the equipment side of things, so you mentioned, from what I've seen on videos, is it a harness for the person and then a harness for the dog? Because it doesn't just wrap around your pelvis, does it?
Or no, you put your legs in it. That's the important thing. Yeah. So it doesn't ride up to your waist, because you don't, if it rides up, that's where you're going to do damage to your back. So it's important that you get an actual canny cross harness for yourself. It's called a waist belt.
It's a waist belt.
It's not round the waist. It's probably the worst misnomer we have in canny cross, isn't it, actually?
Yeah. You do see often, when I'm going into the parks in London, I'll see people with a bungee type lead wrapped around their waist and the dog's attached to it. And I just think, my dog, not only would she wrap herself around me and then, pull me, because that isn't a particularly, certainly not on me. There's not a particularly strong part of my body, my waist. But you're saying it goes on your pelvis and that's where the strength kind of comes from.
Yeah. You'll be surprised how much control you have in the proper canny cross harness. You can control very strong pulling dogs.
Yeah, I think the waist, the one that you see people, is fine if a dog is running by the side. I mean, I'd still go for the canny cross kit, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But some of these dogs, I mean, I have a Labrador and she is very strong puller. A lot of questions we get asked are, the dog will pull me over, or dart off. And to be fair, I think there's a couple of things. Once a dog is working and running, that they, if they're a working dog, their brain engages and that's what they're doing. So, Labradors by nature are gun dogs. So that's their work. But so their genetics is to work. So they get into the zone. But also you have to teach them commands, which is really important, which you can do walking or running.
So one of the things that I actually hadn't intended on doing was teaching Fig left and right. Because I started to take her out running, I thought, she's a Labrador, we're in London, she needs exercise. So we started running together. I started to teach her left and right. And then I had heard that you use those commands in canny cross. So in terms of commands, I mean, again, this is such a, I feel as though we need so much longer to discuss it, but as a complete beginner, I have a Labrador. Where do I start with commands and getting her to essentially do what I want her to do, which is to run in front of me and then to listen to me with directions?
Do you want to take this or shall I?
Does she run in front of you now when you run with her?
No, I'll make sure that she runs to the side of me, because I also have a pug cross Jack Russell. Who runs very fast. Well, when she wants to. But if I was to do canny cross, it would be with the Labrador.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. I mean, we want to train them to walk by our sides when we're out walking. And what we find is if you have a canny cross harness, they get to know that that's canny cross time, so that's running time, so they can pull. If she's not a natural puller, going out with a group is really important, because she'll get the idea. Having someone in front of you that she knows really well that can encourage her, whether they're on a bike or running faster, so she runs after them. And just when a lot of dogs don't like, when they first try it, don't like the feel of the pull, especially if they've been taught not to.
Yeah.
So it's a case of really confirming to the dog, this is all right, this is what I want you to do. And they do get, it takes a little while, but they do get used to it. So I think, is there anything else you'd say, Michelle?
No, I think you've covered everything. I think the key thing is just, it's like we use the command, let's go, with Poppy. She knows I'll clap and I'll be like, so let's go. And she knows that that's great.
Okay, let's go, but I don't do the clap.
I like the clap.
No, I'd be flat on the ground. No, I wouldn't be flat on the ground.
Is that like warp speed for Pinkle?
Sorry. That's true.
But Poppy knows that I've given her the okay to, go on, you pull me, you run as fast as you like. And she's learned that. But that does take a little bit of just time and practice. You've got to keep practicing with them.
Michelle, sorry, Emily. Do you use the commands when you're going? So I use on and forward. So on is just a reminder I'm still there.
Keep going. Because she'll look back sometimes. If she stopped pulling as hard, she'll look back. She'll be like, are you still there, Mum? And I'm like, yes. Go on.
I really don't have that problem. But I use forward. So sometimes, my dogs are really prey driven. And sometimes we run along the canal a lot. So she sees ducks. we did a little bit of interval training, which will please Michelle. So she goes faster, but to stop her going in the canal after them, I use the command forward. But because she's focused, she will go. So there's lots of things. You don't have to use set words, do you? You just need to use simple words, because don't forget you're running. Mm-hmm. So you might need to have a bit of breath. But you just use words that they're familiar with, that you've used before, or that you can train with them.
Yeah, when I meet somebody who's coming to and taste the session for the first time, I'll ask them what words their dog already knows, and we'll just adapt some of those for canicross. Like, a lot of them use heel, so that's a good one when running downhill, or you just want to keep your dog nearby just to stop them pulling
while.
So yeah, dogs already know quite a lot of words, don't they? So
yeah, I've sort of definitely overcomplicated it in my head, thinking that I'm going to have to teach my two-year-old dog as if she was an eight-week-old puppy. But actually, you're right, it's not like that at all. You can just adapt what you already have learned together.
All you're doing is teaching them a new skill, and you can use words that they're familiar with, because the reason you need to use words is obviously because they can't look at you. Sometimes when I start a taster session with somebody who's not tried canicross before, they'll be kind of pointing to go that way. And I'm like, the dog can't see you.
I still do it sometimes.
I hope you enjoy the episode, and don't forget to let me know what you think. I know I'm not the only person out there that thought it would be simple enough to run with their dog. If you have any stories that you want to share to make us all feel more human about owning a dog, then please send them over either on Instagram at thedogownerspod, or you can send us an email using the address contact@thedogownerspod.com.